Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
Let's everybody stand. Let's sing. Glory to His name. Let's sing it out now. On the first, sing it down at the cross where my Savior died. Down where for cleansing from sin I cried. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Sing it out. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. On the second, oh, I am so wondrously saved from Jesus, so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Oh, glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His. On the last now. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast our poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Sing it. Glory to His name. Blood applied. Glory to His. Sing it out now. Sing it. Oh, glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Amen. There to my heart was the blood applied. Amen. Glory to His name. Amen. Amen.
He loved me when no mercy with me He shared. He gave me all He could give. Yes, and He died so I could live. And you ask me how much I love. Then I would so precious, a name so wonderful to me. This name is worthy of all praises, because of him I am made free. That name is Jesus. Oh, how I love him, the one who gave his life for me. Because of love so unconditional, I will have life eternally. This name speaks peace unto my storm clouds. This name speaks calm unto my fears. And when I feel that no one loves me, his loving presence is so near. That name is Jesus. Oh, how I will have life eternally. Praise that name. Praise that name. Praise that name. The face of Jesus and praise that name forevermore. His name is Jesus. Oh, how I love him, the one who gave his life for me. Because of love so unconditional, I will have life eternally.
Searching for a love that was real. Then I heard about Jesus and he saved my soul. Now I want to say how I feel.
I'm saved like a drowning man pulled from the sea. I'm saved.
to God's throne. We're the Father who owns everything. My sin debt is settled, and heaven's my home. Redeem my soul, now can sing. I'm saved like a drowning man pulled from the sea. I'm saved like a prisoner from captivity. I'm saved like an outcast with a new family. I'm saved by the blood of a lamb. I am saved by the blood of a lamb. I'm saved.
Brother, if he'd be so kind, Brother Joe, if he'd come speak to us tonight. And I know some of you like Brother Joe, some of you don't, but I just felt like it was the Lord's will to give him a chance to preach this evening. And so we love him. Even if we don't like him, we love him. And so Brother Joe, if you would come and preach to us what you believe the Lord has given you to give to us.
What that means is that some of you that don't like me, too bad. Brother Alton has found a way to get even with you for something. I love coming to Westside because I learn a lot of stuff here. I learned tonight that this means, let me sing one more verse, please. So, and if I keep going here, I'll be smart after a while if I keep learning stuff like that over and over again. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 18. I have been, for the last while, I can't tell you exactly how long, but I've been doing some meditating on grace. Everybody, we sang about it tonight. What's the name? Shane sang about it, about saved by grace. And we sing about it. We talk about it. We know a lot of the grace verses. But I just thought, man, there's bound to be more to it than I'm saved by grace through faith. And so I've been, like I say, just been meditating, been running things through my mind. And I've got a few thoughts for you tonight. This isn't a sermon. I didn't have enough time to prepare a sermon. hardly ever get enough time to prepare a sermon. But anyway, so you're going to be the benefactor here. You won't get preached to tonight. And you're going to get some, we'll call it musings, just some thoughts that I've had on grace. And hopefully it'll be a help to you, because I believe that most everybody here is a whole lot like me in one respect, at least. There have been some times in my life that I've looked at me and I've said, you know what, I should be doing more. I should be doing something to, you know, make God, not to make him love me more, but to be more acceptable to him. Just seemed like I ought to do something. And I think that probably everybody here at one time or another in your life, you've said, you know, here I am, I'm trying to be faithful at church, and I do all that stuff, but it just seemed like something may be missing. I'm just not getting all that I think I ought to be getting. And so I've been thinking about Jesus. He, in the Gospels, he acted and interacted with folks all the time. And I want to look at a couple little text, little short text about Jesus and children. And I believe that we can learn a little something by comparing ourselves and maybe taking a look at ourselves and saying, maybe there's something to this being childlike that would be a help to me. Matthew 18, beginning in verse number 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? I'd like to just stop there just a minute. The disciples were a whole lot like us. They were interested in elevating themselves a little bit. Want to be a little bit better, a little bit closer to the top. I think anybody that's honestly saved wants to be a little bit better than what we are. These guys had a real hang-up with it, though. They wanted to be, could I sit on the right hand? Could he sit on the left hand? I mean, they really wanted to get up there some. Not wrong for us to want to be a little bit better, do a little bit better job, that kind of thing. These guys had a little bit of priority problem. Anyway, they wanted to know who's the greatest. Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I want to have a little thought here. We talk about childlike faith. And just about every time any of these guys, me, Brother Mike, just about any time somebody talks about the little child, we'll talk about childlike faith. Oh, little child standing up here, jump to daddy, I'll catch you. You know, and that's the illustration. Jump, I'll catch. And the little kid jumps because he's got childlike faith. He trusts his daddy to catch him, you know. Well, I hate to say it, but there's nothing here about faith. Jesus said, except you humble yourselves and be converted. And so he's talking about the humility of a child. Now, please, and don't anybody rush out of here saying, Brother Joe says you don't even have to have faith to get saved. I'm not saying that at all. But the priority that Jesus is saying here is this little child comes in humility and says, here I am in the middle of this bunch. Here I am. And Jesus said, except you be like him and you be converted, then you don't have a chance of going to heaven. And so there is faith required, and I'm not taking away from that at all. But in this context, when Jesus is talking about this child that's being set in the middle, and he's doing it, and keep in mind the context, disciples saying, who's the greatest? As if to say, I'd like to be one of them. And so Jesus said, there's something you need to catch hold of. You need to understand. You need to wrap your mind around this. Except you be like this little humble child. Now I want to talk about children for just a minute. I'm an expert. I've got seven, had seven. They're not children anymore. They're big people now. They're still just as painful as they were when they were small, but I've still got them. But I know a little something about children. And some of the things that I'm going to say in just the next minute or two, somebody will take exception to. I'm going to tell you the general thought about children. Here's a general thought about children. They are not proud, nor arrogant, nor ambitious. I mean, is that okay with y'all? They're not proud and arrogant. You ever seen a little child? He's learning to walk, okay? He's got that little one-step thing, and boom, down on his fanny he goes, okay? You don't see that little child say, did you see that? I did two steps that time. Mm-hmm, pretty good. Watch this. I'm going to do better. I've got a goal out in front. I'm ambitious, and I'm going for three steps or four steps this time. No, the little child gets up, dusts himself off a little bit, and then after a while, he may or may not try it again real quick. But next time, it's just a kid learning to walk. Could we look at ourselves for just a minute in that context? Sometimes when Christians come to church, we don't have that, I'm just going to do the best I can. I'm going to take a few steps. If I stumble, it's okay. Okay, they'll love me anyhow. We walk in and we do that spiritual Fonzie in the mirror kind of thing. We check ourselves out. How do I look? I say, you got my spiritual look on? Got my Bible? You see anything else? I think I'm okay. All right, I'm ready to go. Little kids don't do that. They're just wide open, honest. And I know Brother Melvin told us one time that children lie, little babies lie. And they're saying I'm hurting, but they really just want somebody to pick them up. I heard that story. I was listening that day. And so I know they lie every once in a while, but overall, children are fairly honest, and they're fairly open, and they have very little ambition, and they have very few goals. I've got seven that are now adults. They still don't have very good goals and don't have many of them. But you get the picture? A child. Jesus said, this is how you enter into and enjoy the kingdom of heaven. Become like one of these little humble children and enjoy yourself. I know he didn't say enjoy yourself, but that's the indication. Did you know that we as God's children, as Christians, living by grace, what's her name? Tracy said this morning, at 9 years of age, she experienced saving grace. And then just a few years after her brother passed, she experienced surviving grace. Well, I'm surviving, and I guess I'm experiencing that. I'm saved. I've experienced that. But you know what? I think God has in mind for us to experience living grace, just day after day after day. And we try so hard sometimes that we fail more than we really get the job done. I'm talking to folks here tonight, some of you, and maybe, I don't know, maybe all of you. But I'm talking to some folks here tonight, and you said at the New Year's, that's a good time, but sometimes you do it other times too. You know what? I want to be closer to Jesus. I'm going to read my Bible through this year. And you go for about a week, and then it's gone. Too hard. I can't understand it. I tell you, that King James English is tough. I don't understand it. I'm just not going to try anymore. I tried it, and it didn't work. What about that little child taking that first or second step? Down on his rump he goes. What if he said, that's it. I tried it. I'm done. I won't do that again. No, I failed at my attempt, and I can't please my mama and daddy because I can't walk. I can't please myself because I can't walk. I quit. And the truth of the matter is, y'all know, and I know, that isn't the way little children do. They'll watch the other little children scurrying around, and they're still on all fours. They keep trying and trying until they can get up on their two hind legs and run like the rest of the young. I wonder why we don't do that. We look at ourselves and we say, I failed, I'm quitting. Somebody said, oh, I wouldn't do that. Now, it is tough to read the Bible, but I'll tell you what. Here's your resolution. I'm going to pray more. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get up every morning and I'm going to pray before I go to work. I'm going to kneel at the sofa before I walk out the door. I'm going to just kneel for a couple of minutes and pray and ask Jesus to bless me and take care of me during the day. Amen. And that'll go on 3 or 4 or 5 days, and then, oh, I'm in too big a hurry today. I can't do it. Oh, today I'm so busy. Oh, well, today I was sick and I didn't get up in time. And so, you know what I'm talking about. Failure. That little child, he's the perfect picture of grace. He just keeps doing what's enjoyable to him. If it's learning to walk, I'm going to learn to walk. If it's just sitting down on my rump and resting a little while, I'm going to do that for a while. But I'm going to have me a good time being a two-year-old. I'm going to do what I need to do, and I'm going to let my folks take care of the rest of it. Okay? I wish we'd do that. I really do. There's so many Christians that have just about zero enjoyment in their Christianity because the part about grace is not accepted, it's not understood, it's not lived. We think we've got to do more to please our God. Let me tell you how much He loves us and how pleased He is with us, just like you're sitting. If you're saved, and if you're not saved, He's not pleased. He ain't happy. What'd they say? If mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. Well, if you're not saved, God's not happy about that. He's done everything He could. But here's a person that's saved, and they're not doing what we think they ought to be doing to be acceptable. But God looks down and says, boy, I tell you what, that one right there pleases me. I gave a gift. I made it available to everybody, and He accepted. I'm pleased with that. I'm happy about that. I'm thrilled that He accepted my gift. And if you're saved, let me assure you, Jesus is pleased that you accepted His gift and that now you're a part of the family. Could you do a little bit more to be more pleasing to Him? I don't know. I don't want to get mixed up in semantics here or anything like that, but I'm going to say to you this. You can't do anything to make Him love you anymore. Amen. I can't remember who said it, but I wrote it down because if I don't write it down anymore, it's just plumb gone. But somebody said, I am lovable only because he loved me. Stop and think about that for just a minute. I'm lovable, but it's only on the condition. The only thing that makes me lovable is that he loved me. Man, I tell you what, grace. The wonder of grace. I want to read you another scripture, if you don't mind. Mark chapter 10, verse 13 to 16. Jesus had in mind, I'm going to bless me some children. Here's what he said. Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. You ever watch a child get a gift? I had the privilege yesterday of going to a very expensive birthday party. Two grandbabies at one time. One of them turned 16, and sneaky as that family is, they said, we're going to have a money tree for the 16-year-old. The other one was one-year-old. That's her younger sister. And by the way, you and I, this crowd right here, prayed that younger sister out of ICU 1 year ago. She was wired up and all kind of mess all over her in the hospital. We prayed her out of that. It was life-threatening. She was in bad shape. But now she's a healthy, happy one-year-old. Her, not too expensive, but the one with the money tree. You know, you just can't put a $5 bill in her hand and say, there, that ought to be enough. Let me tell you. Everybody else was hanging their money on the tree. Not me. I put mine in a card. I wanted to make sure that when she opened that thing up, she said, Papa did this, okay? I don't want to take any chances of her saying she's a cheapskate, and I saw him sneak a five up there, no way in the world. So it took a pile of money. Yesterday, we had us a birthday party for two children. And I've got a picture of the one-year-old opening some of her gifts. They sat her on her fanny up in the middle of the table where the cakes and stuff were. And here's the 16-year-old. Here you go, Hannah. Here you go. Open this one. And that little child opening those presents up. Not one time did she look at one of those gifts and say, huh, Aunt Susie gave me something better than that. No comparison whatsoever. She had a gift. They taught her how to tear the paper. I think she had more fun with the paper than she did the toy. You know how kids are. But you know what? Excited, smiling, happy. Now let me tell you about Christians. Some Christians. Some Christians, I don't know how it came out on the VIP card. That part I'm not sure. But there are some Christians that I've heard with my own ears coming across their own lips say to me, oh, I couldn't do that. I don't have that gift. I'm not talented in that. I couldn't do that. And you know what they're saying? If I just had the same gift that she had, I could do more. If I had the same kind of gift that he had, I could do more. Little child by grace says, bring it on. I don't care what it is. Just let me at it. Get me some gifts here. They accept it freely and happily and excitedly. They are receiving undeserved gifts. And you as a Christian, I don't care what your gift is or which one you don't have, it does not matter. You didn't deserve anything. And if you got any kind of a gift, rejoice in that thing. Be like my little grandbaby Hannah ripping into that thing. Let me see how to use this gift. Hallelujah. Amen. Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians, and I can't remember exactly which chapter it is, doesn't matter. I'm going to tell you the story anyhow. Paul said, let me tell you about the body of Christ. It's just like your natural body. It's made up of a lot of different members. You got your little fingers, you got your eyeballs and stuff. Paul said, don't be grumbling about what gift you got because they're all important. And then he said, what if the body was just an eye? Can you imagine me at 5'9", out in the parking lot, and here I am, a bright, blue, clear eye. 5'9". And if you've ever looked at your eye, they look kind of like jelly, like an egg white, like a poached egg or something. And here's this 5'9" egg out in the yard out there, just kind of undulating. That's what I wanted. Here, I couldn't do nothing. I can't go anywhere because I got no feet. And when I got there, I couldn't do anything anyhow because I got no hands. I'm an eye. I can't do anything. I'm just an eye. Paul said what an atrocity that would be. But he goes on to say the body of Christ is just like your physical body. It's made up of a bunch of stuff. And he said that every member is needful. Take notes on this because this is going to be good when you get rid of that VIP thing. Okay, there's some folks that got little finger kind of talents. We don't want them doing big stuff. But the little finger stuff has to get done. Say amen. Help me just a little bit.
Amen.
There's some folks that ain't much more than a toenail. But rip your toenail off one of your toes and see how good you feel when you're done with that. We need every part. And the body of Christ needs every little member. And as I look at this child here receiving his gifts and tearing into him with all the excitement that a little child has, I'm satisfied that we ought to be as excited about our spiritual gifts. I said I was just going to do some musings. I wasn't going to preach, but this can't. I can't help this. This has got to come out. If you are a Christian and you do not know what's inside that gift package, shame on you. You need to open that package up and find out what your gift is, your personal gift is, and then find some way to use it. My little 2-year-old grandson in Chattanooga, we had a birthday for him. You know what? This birthday thing could get a little expensive. Anyway, I had to drive to Chattanooga for his. I got one piece of pizza and a piece of cake, and that was about it. But you know what? He ripped open his stuff, and he wasn't satisfied like Hannah at one to just open it up. Oh no! We're gonna play with this thing, and everyone he opened up. He wanted to get on it and ride it, play with it, do something with it, roll the ball, catch this, do that. No, Oliver, open all your gifts, son. He'd see one, this is my favorite, and he'd go to wanting to play. Got him a little tiny bicycle about that tall. He got on that thing, and it wasn't a pedal kind, you just push it with your feet. He was all over the place. Oliver, come on, there's more gifts in here, son. Come on, back here. I wish we'd get that excited over our spiritual gifts. Wouldn't that be wonderful if every Christian said, I'm going to find out what my gift is, and then I'm not going to search to see if I've got 2 or 3 or 4. Oh, no. I'm going to find my gift, and the first one I find, I'm going to start using that thing to the glory of God. By grace are you saved through faith. By grace do we serve our Lord. Through the same kind of faith we serve, but it's by grace. He gives you gifts, and it's by grace. He doesn't make you earn them, doesn't make you work for them, doesn't make you pay. It's a gift, a free gift of God, and He is thrilled to give us spiritual gifts. Why? Because I'm His child. Man. That was good there. All right, let me read you Luke chapter 18. You can turn to Luke 18. I'll be there in a minute. Before we go, let me say this. First century Jewish custom, Jewish practice, a child was just about worthless. Today, we go all gaga over every little child that's born. Here's one, isn't she sweet over there, Missy, playing with that baby, isn't that something? The apple of their eyes, okay, both of them. And the grandparents, worse. Boy, what children, wonderful. But in Jewish culture, they were insignificant until they were mitzvahed, okay? Let me explain to you, Brother Melvin, this is good. A bar mitzvah is what happens to a boy. A bat mitzvah is what happens to a girl. The mitzvah operation is this. There's a celebration, and we say, oh, I'm going to a bar mitzvah. But the truth of the matter is, the 12-year-old girl and a 13-year-old boy, they don't just go to a bar mitzvah. He becomes a bar mitzvah. The girl becomes a bat mitzvah, a bat mitzvah. What that means, the word mitzvah means commandment. Bar means son, bat means daughter. And what that means is, at age 12, a boy becomes a bar mitzvah, which means a son of the commandment. It means that he is now responsible, that he is approaching real adulthood, manhood, at age 12, or 13. For the girl, it's 12. But until that time, who cares? I mean, they can't make decisions. They can't do anything. They can be a pain in the neck. You remember they went to the temple? And on the way home, where's Jesus? Well, I don't know. Probably hanging out with somebody else in the family. I don't know. And they had to go back and hunt him up. I don't mean that they were bad parents. You know what I'm saying. But their children in Jewish culture aren't nearly as important to the parents as what we have in our culture, as what we make them. Insignificant. I believe part of what Jesus is saying when he says you need to become as a little child, we need to view ourselves, to treat ourselves, to understand that we are insignificant. I can't offer anything. I can't bring anything to God and say, hey, I need to be saved. Here's what I'll do. I'll pay you this amount. I need to be saved. Just tell me what I got to do to be saved, and I'll do that. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. We are insignificant, helpless, worthless. And when we come to be saved, we need to come just like that little child. Lord, I'm a sinner, and there's not a thing in the world I can do. Please save me. And guess what he does every time when that kind of a spirit is about somebody? Every time, without failure, without delay, when a person comes with a repentant heart saying, I'm just like that little child, I can't do anything for myself, will you please save me? Every time he saves that individual, how? By grace. He gives to them a place in the family. He gives to them an inheritance. He gives to them eternal life. All the blessings, all the benefits that come with being a child of God are received when we come with that sort of a spirit. I can't do it myself. Please forgive me and save me. He does that very thing. Now, I told you a minute ago somewhere to turn. It was Luke 18. Luke 18. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children, or allow little children, allow those little children to come unto me and forbid them not. Why? Jesus said, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Now, I'm going to paraphrase that last verse, verse 17. Unless you change and become as helpless as a baby, you'll never see the kingdom. All through all three of the references that I've given you today, Luke 18, Matthew 18, and Mark, whatever I just read, all of those, when you read children or little children, it's one of two Greek words, and they both mean infants or small children, toddlers. Let me say this again. When somebody comes down the aisle here at Westside Baptist Church to get saved, they come down this aisle on their own, okay? They're able to walk down the aisle. They're able to come and receive. But these little children, oh, no. They were little children. They were infants. They couldn't come by themselves. They couldn't even make their way to Jesus. Parents had to bring them. Somebody, they were totally dependent on somebody else to even get them into the place where they could be saved. Now, I'm not saying that we as 2017 folks, that you need to have somebody to take you by the hand or piggyback you down to the altar. I'm not saying that at all. But we need to see, and I say we, unsaved folks need to see themselves as helpless and lost and unable to do one thing for themselves. Then they come to Jesus, and Jesus is more than willing to say, you came as I invited. I'm giving to you all that goes along with being a son in the family of God. Man, I tell you what, I've been a meditating on some grace, and it just keeps getting better and better and better. If I'd had a couple more hours to prepare, we'd have had something about Zacchaeus and the meal that he shared with Jesus. When Jesus said, I'm going to your house today. Boy, it's another message. We'll do that some other day. But let me say to you that a child, an infant, a little bitty baby, a little bitty child, when they come to Jesus, they were totally dependent because they couldn't do it themselves. And Jesus said, except you come that way, totally helpless, totally dependent, then you don't have a chance. I don't know, Brother Alvin, I'm guessing that over the years, you and probably Brother Melvin both have had some folks come to you and say, well, yeah, I need to get saved. I really do. But I'm not going to be baptized. I was baptized as a baby over to such and such church. I don't need to do that. And as far as that salvation by grace thing, my folks, when they had me christened, they put me under a covenant, so I'm okay with that. But I just kind of want to get in on the action over here. I want to kind of No. You don't make the rules, okay? You and I can't make the rules on how to get saved. You come His way, or you just don't come at all. And the way I read it, you come as a helpless, hopeless individual, incapable of doing anything for themselves, and casting yourselves on Jesus. And He said, if you come, I'll give you rest. You come to Me, I'll give you eternal life. You come to Me and I'll relieve some of that burden that you're carrying. I'll take care of that if you just come. Yes, He will. I want to talk about children just a little tiny bit more, and then we'll quit. Then y'all can go to the Dairy Queen. You take a little child and you dress him up. I'm talking about a little child, 2 or 3 years old. You dress him up, clean him up, fix him up, spray his hair down, and you say, now, son, we're going to a family portrait. Don't get messed up. Be careful, son. And it's like spitting into the wind. You know, just... That child ain't gonna, you've been there. You get to the place where you're getting ready to take the photograph and you take a look at the child and it's only been 15 minutes. He already looks like a wreck. He's dirty, shirt tail out. My little grandson Oliver, we went to Minneapolis, I don't know, 2 or 3, 4 weeks ago, whenever it was, to marry off one of my sons. Well, he was going to be the ring bearer. He is the cutest child. He really was. I've seen your grandbabies, and they're second prettiest. I've got 10 that are tied for first, and the rest of y'all come second. This little child was just cute as it could be. He had a tuxedo, and I bet the coat wasn't that tall. I mean, it's just a little tiny little thing. Had him a bow tie and a white shirt, a pair of black pants. He even had the stripe down the side of it. Here he is, 2 years old. Now, Oliver, be careful. So we're taking pictures now, and we're out in the yard out there taking pictures and all that. And in a little while, we're going to climb on this boat and marry him, and then we're going to take a cruise out in the bay and all that stuff. All that stuff. Kind of dumb, I thought, really. But anyway, that's what we did for a wedding. But he wasn't there 5 minutes. His shirt tail was out. His bow tie, he hated that thing. He kept pulling at it. It's all strung out one way like this. Before long, he's got hair that's probably a little bit longer and finer than I like. But it was all sticking every which way. And it's the same way when you take any child to get to a family portrait or a wedding or a funeral or something. And it doesn't matter how much you tell them. Now, be careful. Don't get dirty. Save your breath. You know? But you know what happens in every case? I say every case, just about every case. Happened at our place. You know what happened? His mama picked him up, and she did the same as she, I guess you saw her mama and some of y'all's mamas do. You You know, she cleaned him up. She spit-shined him, straightened up the tie, tucked his shirt back in, put his little coat back straight. Now we're ready. Get your little pillow with your rings on it and come on down, son. She didn't love him any less when he was nasty than when he was clean before or after she cleaned him up this time. Her love was the same all the way through. I want to speak to you and me. Sometimes we mess up. Could I get a witness there, just a little one? Sometimes we mess up. We make a mistake. Sometimes it's an outright bold sin. Sometimes we lie. Sometimes we do things that are not right. And you know what? It breaks the fellowship. It messes up. But God doesn't love us any less when we're in the middle of that mess that we're making than he did the day he saved you. And he doesn't love us any less now while we're messed up. And I'm going to just say messed up because that sounds so much better than when we're a backslid, sorry, you know, I won't say that. But while we're messed up and he has a cleanup job to do on us, he loves us just as much right that minute as he ever will throughout all of eternity. He loves us. By grace, as a child, people come, they're saved, and then they experience his love. A lost person doesn't experience the love of Christ until he gets saved. Then he's just like us. He looks back with 20/20 and he said, boy, God must have really loved me to let his son Jesus die for me. They haven't experienced the love until by faith they receive the love. Okay, got it? My little grandson, cute as can be. He was cute when he was all dressed up and dolled up and at the start of this thing. I thought he was cute when he was all messed up, you know. He kicked off shoes. I mean, he's just a typical kid. But with his towel, skew-haw, and his tuxedo, you know, I thought he was cute then. And when she got him cleaned up, he's still cute. But cute doesn't equate to love. Did you follow that? You can be as cute as you want to. And some folks ain't gonna love you anyhow. And when we, as God's children, go through that thing like I talked about just a minute ago, when we come in through the door and we do that spiritual Fonzie thing, how am I doing? Am I looking good? Is everything all right? You don't know about this, brother. You don't know anything about TV or anything like that, so I won't tell you. But I'll tell the rest of them. One of my favorites is when Fonz walking through someplace, and he looked in the mirror, and he took out his comb out, and he said, nah. Put his comb back. I'm good. Spiritually, sometimes, we need a lot of combing, a lot of working. Sometimes we look in the mirror, and we say, I'm good. We're probably lying when we say that. But the thing I want to magnify is that God loves us no matter what. I'm so thrilled to be a part of the family of God. I got in by grace, and ain't nothing getting me out. I want to talk one tiny little bit more about babies this high, toddlers, all tuck stuff and all that stuff. What do they see when they're toddling around, when they're walking around? If they're toddling, they're seeing kneecaps. If they're not to the toddling stage and they're still crawling, they're looking at shoes. But you know what? They still seem so thrilled to be there. We went to the dedication for Oliver when he was about a year and a half old, somewhere a year, year and a half. Went up there, and there was a bunch of people at this place, and they were dedicating babies and all that, and not baptizing them, but dedicating them. We're there. Oliver's crawling all over the place, getting his nasty little knees and all that stuff. He had so much fun just crawling around, looking at folks and smiling at them. Everybody that was there was like, oh, hey, Oliver, how you doing, buddy? And all that kind of stuff. He'd get a cookie and all that stuff. Guess what, folks? We ought to have that same kind of a wonder because we're children of God. When you come to church, you ought to, let me think about how to say this. It's going to bring conviction anyway. I might as well just go ahead and say it. When some folks come to church, there is so little excitement and so little thrill about it that they probably should have just stayed home. And there's others that come, and from the front door or from the parking lot out there, they can't wait to get on the inside to see what's happening and who's here. And glory to God, this is wonderful. I wonder what the song service is going to be like tonight. Oh, boy, Brother Aldo's going to preach a dynamite message. It's going to be great. I can't wait to get inside. Oh, I hope we get somebody saved this time. Glory to God, wouldn't that be wonderful? I hope Sunday school attendance is up. Man, this is great. The wonder of being a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It ought to get so all over you until you just can't hardly sit still. If there's any English teachers in here, I don't care. That wasn't good English, but it's the truth. I know it was bad English. The wonder of it all. When's the last time you just sat for a minute and said, let me count it up? How gracious is God in my life? What benefits have I received by being a child of God? Not only that, I've been saved for a bunch of years, but what have I received in the last few days from God Almighty? And if you'll stop and be a half, just a tiny bit careful and try to inventory what God has done for you in the last few days, you might be absolutely amazed at what He's done. And I think the more of that we do, it might engender just a little tiny bit of that awe, that wonder that we have. The day I got saved, I'm going to quit. I really will. What time is it anyway? Oh, man, we got plenty of time. It's only 7:30. The day I got saved, I walked out of that church, and I didn't know anything about salvation, about church, about gifts. I knew nothing. The one thing I knew was that guy that stood behind the pulpit that morning had told me I needed to be born again. And when I went down and they showed me some scripture, and I said, that's what I want to do. Yeah, that's what I want to do. Got all done, and they said, if you meant business with God, then that means you are born again. And I said, and that means I'm going to heaven. And he said, yeah, that's it. Old deacon. It wasn't a preacher or anybody. It was just old deacon that showed me. And I said, so I'm going to heaven. He said, yeah. I didn't know about shouting, and they would. I think they would have flipped out if I had shouted there at that church. But anyway, I didn't know any of that stuff. But in my heart and on the inside, I was so full and so excited and so thrilled that I was not going to hell anymore, that I was going to heaven, and that I now had a brand new Father in heaven. I was excited about that thing. And let me tell you a little secret. Most of it hadn't worn off. I'm still excited to be a part of the family. I'm still thrilled to be saved. I'm still glad I'm going to heaven. And I'm so glad that it can't be taken from me by you nor nobody else. And God doesn't want to take it away from me. He's thrilled that I'm a part of His family. Glory to God. I'm going to give you a little counsel, a little advice, and then we're going to pray and we'll be done. I told you a little while ago, I'm not saying that you can be saved by being humble. Okay, I'm not saying that at all. I'm also not saying to you, just give up on the praying and give up on the reading your Bible and give up on the witness and all that stuff. Don't strive and carry on trying to please God, because you can't please Him any more than what He's pleased already by us being a part of the family. I'm not saying that. You still ought to read your Bible. You still ought to pray. You still ought to be a witness. And how about this? And you ought to tithe, too. Amen. He likes it when I say that. There's a lot of stuff that we need to do, ought to do, and most of us do. But don't do it to get closer to God. Don't do it to make Him love you anymore. You can't. The day I got saved, let me tell you how close I was to Jesus then, and it has not changed. When I got saved, and by the way, it's the same for anybody here that's ever been saved. If you were saved this age or yesterday, I don't care. If you're saved, here's what happened. the instant that you trusted Christ as your Savior, the Holy Ghost of God moved into you. He indwelt you. Jesus lives in you. And by the same token, something else happened. We were placed into the body of Christ at that very instant that you got saved. Didn't have to wait 5 years to do it. You became a part of the body of Christ, and Christ became a part of you by indwelling you. Folks, I'm going to tell you a secret. You cannot get any closer to God than that. There is no way that you can get closer to God than Him indwelling you and you being a part of His body. So, if you're going to try to get closer to God, you're wasting your effort. Okay? We're close to Him. He loves us. He's pleased with us because we're His children and we accepted what He did. We ought to be pleased with Him because of who He is. All this that I've said tonight means this. Your childlike faith, your infantile humility, those things, that's about us. And ain't none of this about us. It's all about Him. I want to be humble. I really do. I want to exercise faith, and I try, and you do the same. But that's not what's going to get God to love me anymore. I hope that you've heard something tonight, just a sentence or two, that would cause you to think, you know what? I might not be in as bad a shape as what I thought I was. Okay? I came in here all beat up thinking I can't do this and I haven't done that and I'm not doing that and I don't think I'm going to do this and boy, what a failure I am. You're not a failure. You are just, and by the way, if you're the world's worst, if you're a child of God, you're not a total failure yet. He's still got some time to work on you and make you something better than what you are right now. But do not, please do not strive and struggle to try to get Him to love you any more than what He does right now. That's all I've got. We'll have an invitation. I'll let you take over the invitation if you will. All right? Come on. You do that part and I'll sit down.
Of course, we want to give you an opportunity to be saved. The Christians, I like what he said tonight. Maybe you just want to come down, say, Lord, thank you for loving me. Thank you that I can't do anything to make you love me any more than you do already. And Father, I want to thank you for loving me.